sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you this morning from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who again today breathes life and faith into us. They'd already decided to get rid of Jesus. The religion leaders of Jesus' own religion, the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, had already determined that he was a problem that needed to be solved by any means necessary. 10 chapters earlier in Matthew's gospel, much earlier in Jesus' ministry, we read that the Pharisees went out and conspired against Jesus how to destroy him. And that was before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, when the crowds were shouting Hosanna, the event we celebrate on Palm Sunday. That was before Jesus went into the temple and literally upset the local economy by turning over the tables of the merchants in the temple. And so the encounter we hear today happened after. If they were mad at him, if they wanted to get rid of him before those things happened, they really are determined now to eliminate Jesus here. But how to do it in the right way was the problem. It's a delicate matter. And so Matthew tells us the Pharisees conspire with the Herodians to set a trap. Now the Herodians were supporters of King Herod, who was a puppet of Rome. And normally the Herodians and the Pharisees had nothing to do with each other. Pharisees were interested in the nation of Israel. Herodians were interested in keeping their power by keeping Herod on the throne, by having him do whatever Rome wanted. For them to get together, it would be something like Donald Trump supporters and Bernie Sanders supporters coming together to get something accomplished. What's the possibility of that happening, right? Unless there was a common enemy that was a threat to both agendas, which is who Jesus was. And this should remind us of how intriguing a character Jesus is and was. If Jesus was just a nice man who prayed a lot and loved everybody, nobody would take that much interest in him. But he was a threat to everyone. And so the Pharisees and the Herodians devise what they hope will be an escape-proof trap. And they set it by pretending how much they admire Jesus, which shows that they really think he's pretty simple, right? Teacher, oh, we know how sincere you are. We know that you teach the truth. We know that you treat everyone equally. In other words, Jesus, we're here just to really learn from you. And then comes the trap. So tell us, Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Now, just a little background on this particular tax that they are talking about. The particular tax that they're asking him about was the census tax. You see, the Romans were occupying Israel. But not only did they occupy Israel, they assessed a tax on the citizens in order to pay for the occupying army. You can imagine what the people thought about that tax. Not only would they have to suffer the injustice of having another army run things, they had to pay for that army to run things. And the tax that they were required to pay, used to pay the tax, was in Roman currency, which was a denarius. They couldn't use their own shekels. They had to use Roman currency. And this is, I don't know that this was the same denarius, because there were several minted over the course of the Roman Empire, but the one that would have been used in Jesus' day would have said Augustus Filius August Pontifex Maximus Tiberius Caesar August son of the divine Augustus high priest. In other words, it said Tiberius Caesar, son of God. So you Jews who worship your God, you need to use this currency, which says Caesar is the son of God, to pay this tax. So there's this double humiliation of paying the tax and doing so with coins that contradicted what was at the heart of their faith. How odious. So tell us, Jesus, Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Now, the questioners all had their phones in hand, right? This was the gotcha moment. If Jesus says no, you shouldn't pay the tax, they would quickly tweet the no's out in hopes, expectation that this would be reported to Herod, who would report it to Caesar, and Jesus would be arrested and probably executed for treason. That would take care of the Jesus problem. If Jesus said yes, you should pay the tax, and the people who he preached to heard about it, they would turn their backs on him. He would be considered a Roman sympathizer. They'd have nothing to do with him anymore. Maybe they would rise up and take care of the Jesus problem. It was a well-laid trap. Jesus paused to consider his options and then came back hard at his questioners. You bunch of hypocrites. Why are you putting me to the test? And he calls them hypocrites because of what happens next. He calls them hypocrites because he says, show me the coin that's used for the tax. Now remember, this is in the temple. And the inquisitors reach under their robes, and probably several of them pulled out a Roman denarius with the graven image of Caesar on the coin in the temple, said, here it is, Jesus. Tell me whose image is on it. And what is the inscription there? Remember the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make any graven image unto a false god. And so to have a denarius in the temple, especially for one of the religious leaders to do so, is a direct violation of the commandments. They were so busted. And then Jesus says, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. Give to the emperor the things that are stamped with the emperor's image, and give to God the things that are stamped with God's likeness or God's image. And when they heard this, they were amazed. Now, the amazing thing about Jesus' response is he doesn't go after the enemy out there. It was the perfect opportunity for Jesus to condemn the injustice of the Romans, their mutual enemy, to speak out against the crimes of Rome, to talk about an emperor who was only in it for himself, to enrich his own, to fill his own pockets. And Jesus could have talked about those things. He could have condemned the enemy out there in Rome. Or Jesus could have said, well, I don't get involved in politics. I'm here to talk about spiritual things. But that's not what he does. Because Jesus knows that there's a deeper problem to address than the problem that is in Rome. And it's a spiritual problem, but it spills into all matters of life. The problem, without saying it, Jesus says here, the problem is your hearts, Pharisees, Herodians, anybody else who might be listening. The problem is that your devotion is divided. You have brought other gods into God's house. You are complicit in splitting your loyalties between the Lord, the one Lord, and other lords. And I am reminded how easy it is for me to blame the way the world is going on the enemy out there, those others out there, those in Washington who don't share my opinions, those people who aren't in church today. I just know if Jesus showed up today, he would confront all those people who are wrong about so many things. Or he would have a word for those who are on their way to the Viking game or staying at the lake this weekend or going to go shoot those poor birds out in the field somewhere. Just kidding. What Jesus does is ask me instead, so what's in your pockets, preacher? Well, let me see. I got my keys to my house and my car and my workplace. Yep, my gods. Got my wallet with my credit cards and my money and my... I still carry a couple pictures of my family. That's old school, but... my other gods. I got my phone, which demands more of my time, or actually takes up more of my time. I'm occasionally more on my apps than I am in prayer to God. And by the way, if you don't mind, I have to check my fantasy football team this morning to see. All of these things clamor for my devotion, and I know that they clamor for yours too. Jesus says, keep them in their place. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. Give to God those things that bear God's image. Now, what are those things? What are the things that bear God's image? You remember the creation story? Genesis chapter 1. So God created humankind in what? In God's image. Male and female, God created us. In the image of God, God created us. Give to God what is God's is more than a call to faithful stewardship of our coins. Jesus wants to awaken his opponents and indeed awaken us to whose we are. And we who are Christians, we who are children of God, disciples of Jesus, bear the invisible tattoo of our baptisms, the sign of the cross on us, which also identifies us as belonging to God. Writer Debbie Thomas summarized these words of Jesus this way. She said, figuring out my taxes is the easy part of my life. What's much harder is living out my convictions with a Christ-like humility and with a compassion that embraces my political other as brother and sister. But if I really belong to God, if I indeed am fashioned in God's image, then I need to practice my faith and my politics, indeed all of my life, in ways that reflect who God is. It's not a question of backing down or of being dishonest or of watering down my beliefs. Those are kinds of things that Jesus was accused of doing. It's a question of remembering that the God whose image I bear is a God of love. So late this past Monday night, the newest member of our family was born. Gabriel Benjamin Isley was born 2 minutes before midnight, and Catherine and I went up to see him on Tuesday afternoon. And as I had held him in my hand, in my arms for the first time, our son Ben said, "So who do you think he looks like?" That's always a loaded question anyway. But I'm not so sure you can tell after 13 hours who a child looks like. You know, babies look like babies. However, I did recognize that little button nose that was on a baby that I held in my arms just about 32 years ago. But the most complete answer to the question, who does he look like? Whose image does he bear? Is that he will always bear the image of the living God. And so it is with you. This morning we gather together to confess divided hearts, one and all. We carry a God or two or three in our pockets or our purses or put them in prominent places in our lives. Nevertheless, Jesus reminds us today that we all bear God's image. And so we belong to God. And so by all means, give to the emperor the things that are stamped with the image of the emperor. But remember whose image you bear. Remember that he loved you so much that he loved you unto death. And remember that his love was so strong that death could not hold him in the grave. May we live in such a way that neighbors and strangers recognize the family resemblance.